So this brings to close the academic affairs.
Thank you, Yvette. That moves us into the executive committee. We have one action item, approval of the first addendum to employment contract for track and field head coach Mr. Eric Jenkins. Some information found on page 25. I'll call on our athletic director if he's got any comment on that, or if you had any questions to him. He doesn't probably have to say anything, but any questions on Mr. Jenkins' employment contract?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Let me ask Ross and Lisa to stand up, because I don't think Ross has been introduced formally to this board since he began his duties as director of intercollegiate athletics. And so Ross, stand up. Now you know what the guy looks like.
Thank you. Forward to comments later.
You'll be hearing from Ross in a little bit. But welcome aboard. The moving van arrived last Monday, so his wife Sonia, he's going to owe her big time for having to work a lot of this week.
We'll catch up with you, Ross. Another action item, authorization approval to proceed with acquisition of real property at 503 Regents Avenue.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We have two information items. John, construction progress update. Mr. John Osborne, please.
In your agenda item on pages 34 and 36, you have your conditional report that we provided you. I think our last report to you was in April, so this report will cover somewhere near $93 million in capital construction. It is in various stages of construction or design. And I'm just going to be giving you what I can call, as we usually do, a virtual tour, let you see for yourself where we are on these projects. This project was labeled when it started Science and Technology Hall, and as we all know, we are now talking about College High Hall, but because the project was initiated as a renovation of Science and Technology Hall, that's why that name is on there. In the April report, what we gave you was the building was basically completed. We took occupancy, but it wasn't 100% completed. What I normally do is, once we have a project that's 100% complete, and we've reported as such, then it falls off the report. So the reason this one's still on the report was, and I want you to see that, you're looking down at what was once a parking lot. It was very ugly. And now what we have is we finished the building with some exterior work that addressed the area for pedestrian walks, vehicle access for emergency vehicles and the way it's been done, and a very much improved pedestrian corridor. I'm real pleased with the way it turned out. The landscape architectural firm of M2D was the one who assisted us with this area. Next project that also did not have 100% complete in the last report was the Preston Center. And this shot here purely illustrates that as a night shot, what we did on the exterior to finish the building included walks and lighting and irrigation and landscaping for the Preston area and the South Lawn. So many slides in there, it's slow. Oops. All right, there is the rendering that you have seen many times of what the elevation was for the College of Education, and I wanted you to see that because on the next slide, I can show you where we are as of today when you look out across the street.
anyway.
Huh?
Lots of photos.
Must be slow. Anyway, the College of Education, as you can see quite well, is coming along well. Just from this exterior shot, it's taking shape. I've got several shots in here I'll try to work through with you. Our plan is to take you on a tour of this building in October, a walking tour. So what you're seeing today is an exterior shot. I've got numerous shots of the building. The limestone columns going in. Project is 92% complete. We will be taking beneficial occupancy of this building in November. We will start moving in December. We will be teaching classes in this facility in January. I just think that's a beautiful shot. What I'm hearing from a lot of people is they really like the architectural flavor of the building, of how we've taken the arches and the limestone columns from Van Meter and Cherry and the older part of the hill and blending them into this building here on this part of the campus. This is some interior work. That's part of the lobby area. This is the lobby area with the twin staircases that go up to a three-story open atrium. Really a gorgeous area. Architects for this project are Ross Turnett out of Lexington, a construction company. That's in the lobby. They're looking up at the top. Just a gorgeous view. A&K Construction out of Paducah is the construction company. And once, as you may have read in the paper, recently there was a story about this project. It is on schedule and in budget. And the design features for this building make it eligible for what we think will be a LEED certified building. House Bill 2 that passed not too long ago, but requires that state projects of this nature be LEED certified by the U.S. Green Building Council. However, we chose to make this a LEED building even before that legislation was passed, so that's why we're going to have one of the largest first major academic buildings in the Commonwealth that will be, we think, a silver level LEED certified. That's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design by the U.S. Building, U.S. Green Building Council. Also, in our previous meetings, we've talked about, and we are presently utilizing the Chandler Memorial Chapel. I wanted you to simply realize through these couple shots that the exterior landscaping and finishing of the building has been put in place and demonstrated by that nighttime shot as well as this shot. You can see it's a very attractive addition to the campus.
How's the wedding business?
Huh?
How's the wedding business? Haven't you had your first weddings
know.
In there?
I don't know, Jeff.
I think they're good.
Yeah, we are booking them last Friday right now.
Yeah.
Well, last Friday and Saturday.
Carroll Nicely Center renovation and expansion has resulted in a new addition being added to the building containing 26,272 gross square feet. This phase of the construction will be completed by the end of August for beneficial use in September. I recall showing you shots when we just were putting in footers on this project. It has come along quite well. It, too, is on schedule and within budget. The conference area inside that I'm about to show you on the next slide, this is, of course, located on the South Campus. That's the main entrance lobby. That can be a multi-purpose lobby containing over 4,400 square feet of lobby space. Very attractive. think we referred to that as ante rooms outside the main conference area. This room here is divisible into 10 separate rooms, and this room itself contains adequate space for a maximum seating of 665 guests at table. And the room itself, when open completely, is 11,260 gross feet. Just a final shot on the building of one of the restrooms. You can see it's really getting to the point of completion. Another project we've profiled for you in the past is our energy saving performance contract. We are now well into the construction phase of that project. To remind you, we're going to be doing almost $10 million in capital construction improvements, impacting 38 buildings, principally addressing lighting, HVAC, and water, all energy-related utility savings. When the project is completed, University's utility bill is guaranteed to be $1 million less per year than what it is today. If it isn't, then the company pays. We have a very clear measurement and verification procedure that will be followed to ensure that it does do what is programmed. And we are already well into construction. We've got windows as part of the project going into the industrial education building. Lighting, as you saw a while ago on the campus, both interior and exterior lighting. This is lighting fixtures that were removed in the parking structure. Now installing new T5 technology fluorescent lighting to take its place. And the last comment on that would be that that's a project that will pay dividends for us forever, but the process is that it uses the energy savings to pay off the debt, and we will pay off the debt in 15 years with the 15-year amortization schedule.
So we had no upfront cost, and it's nearly a $10 million project. Again, once the to Johnson Controls, once the performance contract is complete, then all the savings accrue to us. So it's the right thing to do from a sustainability and an environmental context. It's the right thing to do from a financial savings.
Absolutely.
As well.
I mean, we get to go out and address some significant deferred capital renewal and deferred maintenance issues with this money that are energy related, utilizing someone else's money, paying for it with the savings. I mean, it's truly an opportunity if managed properly. The reason why I'm so confident it will work is that often these contracts are set up where the savings is also created in the operating side, not just the utility. We wouldn't allow that. We're only allowing direct energy savings to be utilized as part of the contract. So we're doing one of the larger projects in Kentucky. So again, we're setting the pace. We were the first university in the state to do one of these projects. We did a small project in 2001 to start the process. This slide here represents the overview of the site for the future music rehearsal hall that will rest between Bryce Hall and Ivan Wilson on the slope. So if you've got your bearings there, this project was put out for bid in June. It came in slightly over, but because of that, we are now going through a process to allow the top three bidders to reevaluate and value engineer their proposals and come back to us. And next week, coincidentally, the bids will open again. We think we will be successful in being able to award a contract to one of those three contractors, and that this project would then be officially initiated. This is, of course, a choral and instrument rehearsal hall with a music library, two-story, 2,400 square feet. Project budget's $9.2 million. It, too, will be a LEED-certified building, the designation to be determined following the completion of the construction. What happens is that you have to design it in capability for being LEED certified. They have to come in following your construction and do the analysis to demonstrate that it is actually performing as designed. Then you get the designation. That elevation is looking at it from the Grice Hall side. This elevation is looking at it from if you were standing somewhere near the fountain. On your right would be the Fine Arts Center. The main entrance between the two buildings would be that level there. The bottom level is the performing arts or the rehearsal space. The music department staff will not the music department, excuse me, the band and choral directors staff will be in the upper portion. University has infrastructure problems. You've heard us talk about it before. The area that the two types of infrastructure we have most issues with is our electrical distribution and our steam distribution. We are about to embark on a project that will start on State Street. It will go all the way from the planetarium down State, cross at Christie Quick to the other side, and then it will connect to a manhole and just between. Well, I wanted to let you see these areas here. That's the area where we'll be doing our trenching. The on-street parking that you see in these shots will be temporarily removed, of course, to allow the work to be performed during construction. And once completed, that parking will be replaced by improved pedestrian walkways on both sides of the street, and the parking will go away.
We'll be able to save those trees.
In this particular case, we're going up the side of the street where the cars are.
Uh-huh.
There are no trees taken out during this project.
Yeah, that's powerful.
John, go back to the previous slide, please. Dan? Maybe you can't.
No, it's not cooperating. Well, here we go. This slope.
Point out where the music building is going, please.
Music building will be, let me get it right, here.
Now, it's going to kill me, but there are going to have
there will be
have
trees.
To take some trees out.
That's
of that.
Correct.
And nobody loathes taking a tree out more than me, but in order to make that work, but it will be nestled. We'll take as few as possible, and it'll be nestled within those trees. And what is
keep your tree cover for
beautiful sight when it's finished. But yeah, we're going to have to take a couple trees out.
That's a beautiful area, but there are several mature trees. It's going to be right on
right
target.
Right where that sidewalk is where that music building goes. I just want y'all to have some context for where that building will go. Okay, sorry.
The reason we have to do this electrical infrastructure in phases and sections is because that's where the funding is coming. Meaning we have asked for authorization from the state and funding from the state to fund in one large amount our utility distribution systems. They have been unable to fund those projects, so we are funding them ourselves in sections and pieces and parts. And so it's going to be disruptive for about a year up this road while we do this. You've seen it on the campus before. I'm just warning you, there will be some disruption. We will do everything possible to keep pedestrian safety at the forefront and access up and down the street available. We'll have to put some fencing literally up and for pedestrians. We will try to avoid detours, but there'll be occasions where there will be some detours. Trenching will start as early as this fall and will be completed by next spring, but it will be messy. Got a few more projects I want to cover with you. I've asked Ryan Russell to join us today, our Director of Planning, Design, and Construction, to cover the next few projects with you.
Good morning. Okay.
This is our Downing University Center. It's our student center. It's an extremely large building. This building was built about 1969. It's 40 years old, approximately. We're re-roofing this entire project. That's about an $850,000 long-term investment for Western. One of the things that's being done on this roof is that it was taken all the way back down to the concrete deck. We're putting back insulation, which back then it had very little, if any. And with that insulation, we get up to the current House Bill 2 codes and requirements. One of the reasons for the large investment to that building is, one, water was coming in and damaging things that we have throughout our facility. But two, we have long-term goals as a university to renovate the entire building. And while we were doing this, a good decision was made to meet the current requirements. Also on our campus, we have about 16 locations for food service areas on campus, different locations for our students. This happens to be the Helm Library entrance. It's been a Java City where students gather, congregate. Decision was made to totally renovate this lobby area except historic renderings of the campus that was there. This project was started this summer. These needs and wants by our students have been acknowledged. So this whole area, the opportunity was using to go back in, change it, improve it. And that's something I see constantly on Western's campus, is we are constantly changing, constantly improving our areas for our students, which also helps attract more students. And it's all a big package. I think it's great. The next photograph that we're going to have, or the area that we've chosen, is down by our PFT food court building. It currently has a Zoca concept. That concept has been decided to be changed to a Burger Studio. That's going to be completed before school starts. This area here is in our Downing University Center. It's called the Red Zone. It's a restaurant currently there. That part of the restaurant is being reconfigured, and we're putting in a Papa John's and also a Taco Last Stand in this area here. Again, all of these things are being done at student because of student surveys, student requests, keeping these areas fresh, and it helps attract students to our campus. This area here is our parking structure one. We started a year ago doing improvements on that structure. This year, this summer, we've taken another opportunity to replace a built-up roof, repair concrete cracks, put additional drainage in. The long-term goal of this project, and again, we tackle things in the summer when it's less invasive to our students so that we can get a lot more years use out of these buildings without just allowing them to continue to deteriorate. We went a long time on our campus without making these types of improvements, and through improvements we've seen also our growth on campus. So very positive, and a large commitment by our university. This right here we have identified in our six-year capital plan that had requested from the state for about $9 million in the infrastructure that John talked about earlier. This happens to be up in our Potter Hall lot area, where we have some major steam lines that have completely failed. And while we were completing Van Meter, these have been identified. These areas have been under construction just through the summer, and I'll show you the finished product, but we wanted to get these areas done and completed. This is at Pierce Ford Tower, another area that was causing some problems for our residence halls. It was critical, had to be fixed. Got in there this summer, make those improvements, and these are long-term fixes that we're doing. At our Downing University Center, we've got a 40-year-old theater we have a current project going in, again, bringing it up to the ADA standards. Going to be bringing in new lighting, going to be bringing in a new environment for our students. But if anybody's participated in that building, as these chairs have aged, there are so many chairs that were just really unsafe to sit in. So those are things that are happening this summer on our campus that we want to share with you, that are, you know, that's a $1.2 million improvement to that facility. But we're going to be working on Downing University Center over the next several years to bring it up to the standards that Western expects. This is some of the ceiling going back in. This is something we don't talk about much. We've got an 800-acre farm located right outside of the campus. It's going out toward Franklin, what we call the old National Road. This is a equine facility. This is being funded through a grant that the department had gotten. It's about 40 stalls. It's just another area of improvement, has a lab area in it, has about 40 stalls for horses. But again, this is through somebody's effort to go out and get a grant. They've been working on it for many, many years to get the funding, and now they're getting to see us erect this structure for them. That was about a $600,000 project for Western. This is very important to Western. This is our campus walkways and sidewalks. Obviously, we have about 205 acres on campus. We have a lot of sidewalks on campus. And in that, we have a lot of areas that have been identified that, are becoming unsafe. In total, it's probably about $600,000 worth that we're working on. And again, there are some that are worse than others. So we have been tackling during the summer, when it's less disruptive to our campus, picking areas that are the worst. And this year we took out of our funding $100,000 to make a certain amount of repairs. And then start to put our sidewalks back, putting in walks, doing some nice things to just improve safety on our campus. Our environmental health and safety group also keeps track of reports and incidents of things that happened where something's been disruptive or I tripped. And so those areas are also looked at and identified. But I guess what we're saying is that there's always something being constructed on university, at our university, and it's just continual improvements. Had to go this summer and do a lot of stair repairs. I think we've seen some of the things at Grice Hall. We've got a project we're working on, the limestone steps at Gordon Wilson Hall, Page Hall, just various locations on campus where after 40 years they've gotten to were just very dangerous. Here we have a Potter Hall lot improvement. This is being funded with the money that was left over, with little money that was left over from the Van Meter project. We just completed the steam line replacement that was located underneath this parking lot a little bit further. And then we basically have started at the Hilltop Drive, going around, but one of the nice things is that this parking lot really never had any sidewalk access. So when you got out of your car, everybody goes to the center of the street and walks. So the sidewalk that you see going around the outer edge is a safety measure that gets identified by our staff. And it's a very nice improvement to use the space that we have. Just took the opportunity because we were having to take a lot of this up anyway because of the steam line replacements, and then come back with a better product, a long-term better product for our campus and our students and our faculty and staff. This is coming up toward the top of the hill, right behind Potter Hall, and behind Van Meter. Again, adding new sidewalks, not taken away from our parking, but just go ahead and taking the opportunity to improve safety on our campus. and then we just remilled and resurfaced and restriped to the faculty house to complete this summer's work. My last set of slides are some renovation projects that don't make the capital construction list, but some really nice improvements on campus. This is a Colonial Court location here on campus right off of Normal. It'll be a building that's been completed. It gives us four more apartments for our visiting scholars. These structures turn out very nice. We invested about $150,000 into that project to get it fixed. We have a Rockfield Observatory communication tower. And you say, well, why are you showing me that picture? That's a 100-foot tower being installed out on a remote location. But because we've installed this tower, we're going to eliminate about $5,400 in an annual recurring bill that that department has. So we gave up a small piece of space. They get to not pay for internet for the rest of the life of their agreement. This is probably the most exciting renovation project. This is at our WKU TV studio. That's about 40-year-old lighting that's all been replaced with state-of-the-art LED lighting. It is a energy savings of 97%. 97% over the old studio lighting. Obviously, the energy savings of just replacing will pay for the project very quickly. My understanding is this is the second studio LED lighting project in the country. So again, leading technology, sustainable, innovative, but Western is again leading the way in technology in certain areas that we don't normally talk about. So that concludes our presentation of some of the things we're doing and concentration on some of the things we're doing this summer. And any questions, John and I should be able to answer.
It's now 11:30. We're going to try to get through our agenda by 12:30. We have a few more reports. John, at the risk of hurting somebody's feelings, you might want to table the sustainability report, because my hunch is you got some pretty exciting, pretty specific information.
Do.
And in order to stay on schedule.
Well, give me 1 minute.
All right.
1 minute. 1 minute.
That may not replace a more thorough report
in
October.
Not. But while I have the publications here, I wanted to hand them out and let the publications go with you. WKU was acknowledged recently as one of the greenest colleges in America by the Princeton Review. It's very rewarding and helpful when what you're doing is being acknowledged by an independent outside folks that do evaluations nationwide of colleges and universities. In a publication of this nature, Western was the only university in Kentucky, public university, acknowledged as one of the greenest colleges in America. The only other two colleges in Kentucky were Berea and Center. Berea and WKU were the only three in Kentucky. They don't rank them at the moment. We're just in the top 286 in the nation. There are ways to improve that and to be at a higher level, and we're going to be working on that in the future. But for the moment, I wanted you to know that designation. I have the reviews, and I'll pass them out for you.
Yeah, please do. But let's come back in October with a more thorough sustainability report. I don't want to rush through that.
Well, he's delivering that. John, thank you guys so much for what you did there. And let's move on now toward the Finance and Budget Committee. David, go start on yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will direct your attention to page 37 of the agenda, action item 3.1. And also, I want to point out on your placemat this morning, there's a new substitute sheet 40 for correction on the old sheet 40 and the bound volume. So if you would replace that And this is an action item for approval of faculty and staff personnel actions which have previously been approved through the administrative channels. And it includes all of those as of July 14, 2010. And as many of you know, throughout the year after the budget is passed, there are different adjustments and salaries, schedules and so forth are passed. There are various exits, new people coming in for faculty and staff, and advancement in their positions. So this is a formality to approve what has been done administratively, and I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve.
There's a second.
Second.
A motion's made and second. It's pretty obvious on these. If there are any questions or discussion, this is the time to bring it up. If there is none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's our report.
That's good, isn't it? I think it's passed pretty quick.